Oila, the podcast, and today we have another interview from Pack South. This time, we're talking with the CEO of StackUp, Stephen Machuga. If you remember, an interview with Stephen was actually one of our very first episodes way, way, way back at Pack South 2017. So it's all come full circle, and I hope you enjoy. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Oila Podcast, and we're live from Pack South 2020 in San Antonio, and we're here with Steve Machuga.
Hey everybody, welcome. We were just talking about how I was your first interview back in, or one of your first interviews.
No, our very first interview.
For those of you who don't remember, Steve Machuga is on episode 3, and we are now at episode 127.
A couple things have happened between then
yes,
and now.
Yes, yeah. StackUp, and obviously we've done a few things with StackUp over the years. And we kind of wanted to come back around and talk to you because obviously StackUp has grown. We kind of want to see between what have you done from the past year? You've kind of done the gaming awards. You've kind of got famous. We're standing under a banner of StackUp attaining from the rafters.
Yes, that ironically, you put these booths together and as a charity, they push you as far back into the corner as you possibly can. Like, we're helping. So we spent half of our, online time when we're back in the airport. Hey, I'm here in wherever. We can't find you guys. So we figured we'd give this a try, and holy shit, it's been amazing. People are just like, I can see you from everywhere. I came right over. It's like, so it's expensive, but it was definitely one of these, like, all right, it's been worth it. But as far as what the charity's been up to, I mean, the big change since we really talked to you last time was the Overwatch program.
Yes.
Suicide prevention awareness and our pivot into mental health awareness. Because... And we're finding it's, obviously the suicide is important, but as far as the charity goes, not everybody can understand what it's like having served in the military. Everybody, Year of Our Lord 2020, everybody can relate to mental health in some way, shape. Everybody's got anxiety, everybody's got problems, and they can definitely understand, so imagine you were in the military and you have all these other problems. Like, imagine having anxiety, but, 10 times worse having served in the military. They're like, I can understand that. I didn't serve, my family didn't serve, but I have anxiety, I can understand that. And it's opened us up to a whole new population of people that get us now. So it's kind of changed. And then, obviously, the suicide prevention, which I think really, really ratcheted things up for us because it's one, all of our programs are mental health based, and we never thought of it that way. Like, good morale, being able to opening up one of our supply crates and getting an Xbox while you're deployed overseas, or, you kind of forget that gaming is a luxury for a lot of folks, or could be a luxury, but a lot of the requests we get from folks that are back home is like, I used to play games with my guys or my unit, and I couldn't pay for rent or whatever. I had to sell it. So we're finding that that's another big piece. Well, here we get crazy. Every now and again, we'll get a crazy request like, hey, my PlayStation 2 finally broke and I have no idea. Like, wow, really? Holy shit. So, yeah, things like that. But with the suicide prevention piece has just taken it to a new level because we're having conversations with individuals now that it changes everything. It's individuals who are at their worst point in their lives. They don't know where else to turn. The VA is just pumping pills into them, and they don't feel comfortable going to the VA or getting psychiatric help that they need. And we act as kind of a bridge where it's like, hey, we're a community that if you need to talk to somebody, we can jump in a game. We can get you in a position where you feel comfortable. I mean, I kind of had that realization a couple of years ago. I did an interview with Polygon, and they had me sitting in front of playing Battlefield. And I was doing the interview while I was playing Battlefield. And I watched the interview later, and the shit that was coming out of my mouth, that, when you're doing an interview, you kind of have your walls up. You're kind of guarded, here's what I can say, here's what I can't say. When you're multitasking, as a lot of people like saying, thinking that they're, I'm a good multitasker. No, you're just doing two things really poorly. And I was one of those guys for a long time, I'm good at multitasking. It's horrible. I didn't realize it. So watching that interview was like, hey, there's something here. Like, we can distract folks and get them to talk about what's really on their minds while they're playing games. So it turned into, but the Overwatch program is more about just servicing individuals who come in through our Discord and help out, get them talking or get them off the ledge and get them the support, the real support they need. Because we just have trained volunteers.
Right.
So, and I'm sorry, that was a very, very long
answer. That was a great answer.
Oh, no, that was a great answer.
Okay.
I just kind of expand on that, because obviously we talked about going to Discord, making comfortable and everything, but you all actually work with, like, what, the American Society of Suicidology?
Suicidology.
There we go. And then obviously in other types of kind of becoming a resource, and you kind of go pointing to, like, coming, I guess, from, like, we're just talking in Discord to almost becoming, like, an official resource?
Yes, that was definitely a surprise when we got that. I thought when we put in for that, and that's a national, it's the National Resource Directory for the government.
Yes.
And I put in for that as almost like a joke. Like, okay, well, they're never, if they even see this, you know, request 3 years from now. And within, like, a week, they're like, yep, you're in. But, oh, okay, that was fairly simple. But, I mean, we met all the requirements, and they, you know, I guess they saw what we were doing over here, where it was like, I think the VA, obviously the VA is overwhelmed.
Right.
They don't have the support. And anything that they can throw against the wall and get some help with, then I think they're going to. And then our work with the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, opened up a lot of doors with that as well. Sorry.
You're fine.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because, I mean, for people who are listening, when you're at a convention and you see a gaming charity, you don't think of the CDC or, like,
no.
A group that works
yeah.
with the CDC.
Right.
Can you go into that a little bit?
We applied for a grant a couple of years ago with them because they were looking to come up with solutions for the ever-growing suicide problem in this country. And it's only getting worse. It's the leading cause of death for our 18 to 35-year-olds in this country. And wait a second. And, okay, we're back. It's the second leading cause of death in this country for 18, like, military-age males and females. So it's like no one has a right answer. So I'm sure they saw what we were doing. And that was the big conversation we had with them. It's like, you guys are doing something. You are bringing support to individuals where in a place where they feel comfortable. And that was the big piece of it. It was like, we're doing something that they can't do at their facilities. We're getting guys at 3 in the morning in their recliners while they're playing games where they feel comfortable. And if we can hit them there, then, you know, we can act as a buffer until they can go get the help they need. So, yeah, it's a big deal. That CDC, that partnership with them was really, really important.
Awesome. I guess from there, because now that you all, I guess, are growing big, I guess, what is the next step? Because obviously we went from gaming to now kind of like CDC. What is next for Stack Up?
The big joke right now for 2020 is, all right, it's our $1 million year. Because we raised $750,000 last year. And it's a stretch, but we're trying to, and it's an unpopular conversation point, because I should be, as a charity worker, I should be like, well, we want to help our people. But in order for us to help more people, we need to raise more money so we can keep the lights on, so we can do what we're doing, more awareness, more counselors, more people helping, more staff, and then helping more people. So dollars translates to being able to help more people. So that's our goal right now. There's a lot of, like, sub-goals under that as far as, like, here's where we can go next, like an actual office space where we can have, like, a sales team and the suicide team brought together. We've got ideas, but I mean, we'll see where this year goes. It's kind of one of these things where we have some goals in place, but as random opportunities have been getting dropped in our laps, it's like we're not changing the mission at all, but some of our goals might shift based on how, like, the response will be.
If you guys had other Ninja Race money, you all had it.
We certainly did. That was it wasn't so much raise money, it was the Family Feud.
Win money, there we go.
Yeah, it was very much like, this guy's going to get around. But yeah, that was right. Let me finish up.
No worries. I just want to say, whoever is that people is here as well.
Perfect.
So I don't think he's in the booth right now. But I just want to give
him. I will hunt you down. Thank you very much. I'm really trying, guys.
You're good.
Where were we at? Shit.
The Ninja thing.
Oh, Ninja. Yeah, the Family Feud thing. Wasn't so much, I mean, thank God, I mean, he won, that was awesome. But it was one of those things where, you know, he pulled it out in the clutch at the end there. We were kind of like, because the other teen/family they still took home 10K. But because he won, we ended up getting 25K. And almost more than the money was the ninja doing something for us, because we had a lot of people reach out to us afterwards and like, who didn't know who we were. And then it was because they brought us on the map. It was kind of like, it was a level of awareness, you know, for smaller charities. I mean, we're at the point now, it's like breast cancer awareness. Like, I think we're good. We got it. We know what it is. But for organizations like ours, awareness campaigns are pretty useful. So anytime anybody's doing something like that for us out there in the world, it's really useful, especially a name like that. So when I ran into them at the Game Awards, it was like the first time I had never actually met them. And ironically, the funny part, actually funny story, a year ago was when we first found out that they were Ninja's manager / wife, Jessica, yes, randomly DM'd us on Twitter and said, like, at PAX South last year, so we're at the Airbnb at like 11 o'clock in the morning, like, was it like 10 or 11? And I was still in bed, kind of just lazing around. And Skatch, who runs our social media, like texted me, he's like, wake up, get up here now. I was like, what the okay, what's going on? I was like, hey, everybody, what's going on? Show me the DM. I'm like, holy shit. It's like, and of course, you're like, okay, well, this is going to change everything. Now we're best buds with Ninja. Like, and it was not that, obviously. It was a one-off thing. Like, we were kind of thinking, like, hey, now we're best buds. We're going to, like, do all kinds of, he's going to invite me to his awesome thing. We're going to do all this awesome stuff. It wasn't. It was like, obviously, they're getting hit up about a million times a day. And it was like one of those, like, the fact that they were able to, like, we didn't reach out to them at all.
Yeah.
We didn't do anything. The fact that they found us and they said, we want to work with you guys for this thing. Like, I didn't realize how much of an honor that is. Because just to cut through the noise and bullshit that those people must get on a day-to-day basis, it's huge. So, but it took from that moment in January 25th of last year, all the way to, like, they didn't tell us what. They didn't say what they were doing. It's like, we're doing something for you guys. And so our minds ran wild. We're like, they're going to invite us to their compound. Fly some veterans out. We're like, what does this mean for us? It took months to get that. And then they said, all right, we're doing a television show. And then it went dead again. And we're like, we're trying to get more information. It's like, what's the television show? Like, what is it? What is it? And then June, they told us, okay, it's Family Feud, this, that, and the other thing. And then it went quiet again. It was like, all right, well, now we know what this plan is. Okay, so, and they had done Family Feud before. They're apparently, they had done Family Feud a couple of years previous as a family before the ninja explosion.
Yeah.
And ironically, so they brought him back on for that. It was just like the fact, and then the ironic part about all of this is they barely even mentioned the charity at the event. Like, at the Family Feud, it's like, and he's raising money for Stack Up. So Ninja, tell us about it. Like, didn't say anything about the charity. It was like ramped right over it. So you can't win them all, but the awareness campaign that Ninja brought to us was really awesome. We're glad we could do it, and hopefully we'll do something again.
Awesome. I guess my last question is, how was the Gaming Awards?
Awards?
You ended up on the big screen, everybody knew you took so many photos. How was those 48 hours or 24 hours?
So if you saw the Game Awards, you saw me in that ridiculous red suit. I had been meaning to do that suit thing for a while, and then the Game Awards thing came along. I'm like, well, now we have a reason. I'm in Los Angeles. Let's go do this. So I took a friend of mine out who is a fashion designer. And I'm like, do me up. Like, let's do this. And she picked all that out. And I was like, the 6 to 7 hours before when I was putting it on, I'm like, I have made a horrible mistake. This is going to be so embarrassing. I'm going to look like such a jackass up there. I got there, and the Game Awards, like, developers are showing up in their best hoodies. So I come rolling up, and they're like, what the fuck is this guy doing? But it worked out beautifully, because people, like, they saw me in the lobby, they saw me, like, they're like, oh, you're that guy. And it really worked out well. Like, and awareness. That audience of people who are there for that thing, like, it's some of the biggest VIPs in the industry. And it was from there we met up with Norman Reedus and his people. their publicists and everything. Like it led to a lot of like different things that we're looking at in 2020 as far as trying to do something there. But I mean, it was an amazing opportunity. My phone exploded. Like it was just like one of those things. Like because we went on, they showed our bit right before the Bunsen Honeydew and that whole thing, and I knew that was coming, but because my phone was like, rah, 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 and I'm just like, shit, like just texts and voicemails and people, and I was like, so I'm trying to watch this and I'm trying to respond, oh, thank you very much, like, oh, this is awesome, thank you, like, oh, hey, see you, sorry, oh, thank you, like, because it apparently went out to 30 million people, like, as far as people watching that thing, so it's like, again, awareness campaign.
So. Yeah.
So, and the funny thing about that whole thing is, like, when I heard that they were doing this, like, when we got the nod for this thing, I thought, like, hey, look, you don't get into this line of work. Like, you don't get this line of work to be famous. You don't get into this line of work to make a lot of money. So, but that said, I knew what that program was. I knew what Facebook, like, Global Gaming Citizen was. And I'm like, oh, Steve Machuga, Global Gaming Citizen. That's so nice. And then so I started explaining my story, and when I started talking about the suicide awareness stuff, they go, "Oh, that's fascinating." And I was like, "And so they like," and I was like, "Yeah, our counselor up in Seattle, Matt, like he's the guy who's in charge of it. He's got a hell of a story." And I'm like, "Oh, so let's talk to Matt about all this." And I'm just like, "Okay, like, yes, and me too, right? Like I'm in there too, right?" And so it kind of, and so you watch the bit, and it's primarily about Matt and his like thing. And so there's this little like demon in me that I'm like, that was my man. But when you watch the video, it makes perfect sense. It's like it couldn't have been, it shouldn't have been about me. It should have been like for the good of the organization. They couldn't have cut that better. Like it really came, and I still get my face up to them. See you. But it really worked out. Like it was a great piece that they put together, and we were up there for 3 days shooting for a 2-minute segment. Holy shit, guys! And the things that they put in there that were cut, like there's Scatch was laughing because like we were again 3 days of shooting. There was some good stuff that was cut on cutting room floor, and there was so much like filler. Like there's a flag waving in the back. Like. Really? This 5-second shot of the American flag waving against the sun was like, you cut out actual content for like patriotism. So, but anyway, sorry. So that's that. It was an amazing opportunity. I'm happy to do it. We'll probably never have that. I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I mean, they're not going to bring us back up there again next year. Like, and back again. It's like, so that was a one-and-done kind of thing. So, but we're part of it's kind of like a 30 under 30 thing for Forbes.
Yeah.
It's like, so we made this cut, we're part of an alumnus now. We don't know what that'll do for us, but it got seen by a lot of people. It put us on, again, put us on the map for a lot of like VIPs and organizations that didn't know we existed.
Yeah.
The following 48 hours, it was a flurry of emails and, oh, I saw you on the Game Awards. And then we're right back to normal. Like nothing happened. It's the same thing happened with the Ninja. So, oh my God, I saw your family feed. This is amazing. 72 hours later, nothing. So, and the funny thing is, the joke that I made about all of it was, we got over 200 requests for support within the next week, and we raised $20. If that doesn't tell you the charity experience as a whole, like people asking for help, but not offering. So, but it is what it is. So.
I'm not gonna lie, I would have been disappointed if you did not show up in a red suit.
Yeah,
I would have been disappointed if you did not show up in a red suit.
Oh yeah, no, it would have been red something. But I mean, it was one of those like, what am I gonna? I can't wear a hoodie. Like, it's our Oscars. I thought that I was literally standing in line with folks like developers. They're wearing like their best T-shirts and stuff.
You didn't know that.
A little overdressed.
$1,000 jacket, graphic tee.
Yeah, the Phil Spencer, right?
Yeah.
Here's my battle toes.
I mean, I will say, we were each watching in our own offices, and immediately Matt was like, Steven! I was like, oh my God, that's Steven! Like, automatically, like, when you came on, I was like, oh shit, that's cool.
It definitely is one of those, and we got more time than a lot of the awards do.
Yes.
I mean, it was like, it was a 2-minute bit, and then you think about, like, all right, best sound design, ramp right over that.
They would have started reading them from a list.
Yeah,
sometime.
It's like, here's this list, it's like, Jesus Christ. It was surprising. Like,
you got more time than the best voice actors. You got more time than Mads Mikkelsen.
That's crazy. It's like, you know, if we're not, like, we didn't get any actual hardware. Because there was a part of me that's like, oh, a So I asked, I'm like, can we get one of those things? Because we'd love to put it in the office. In my office. But yeah, they're like, no, it's a little different. They go, like, fine, I guess we'll take all your love and admiration. But no, it was an amazing opportunity. I honestly don't know where we go from here. Like, it's kind of one of these, like, we're checking off all these great things in the games industry, and now it's like, I guess now it's like, all right, let's see what else is out in the universe. Like, I guess we break into mainstream as the next real major piece and start showing up on billboards in Times Square and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's like, all right, we're doing pretty well here in our little fish bubble, our little fish bowl. It's a small, big fish, small pond kind of mentality.
Yeah, something
like that. Now it's like, all right, now we got to start taking our show on the road.
Yeah.
And trying to get people who don't get gaming into it. But that population is getting smaller and smaller every year.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we're talking to Fortune 500 companies, and you talk to C-level staff, and they're just like, well, I don't get it, but let me tell you about my 20-year-old son. Holy shit, that's all he talks about. It's like, yeah, we know. Because you raised him on an iPad with Minecraft on it, and now he knows video games, and that's, there you go. So, you know, it's just a matter of time before those kids are either putting on uniforms, joining the service, or, you know, next congressmen, senators, like, people in positions of power. We're going to have a president who's played through GTA 6 or 7. It's really just a matter of time. Like, we're taking over the world. And we've been riding the last 10 years, well, 5 years from now, but we've been riding this wave of just, oh, video games is this huge, multi-billion, $100 billion industry. And it's so weird that the three of us, we picked an industry that, like, we could just be big fly fishing fans or technologists or whatever. It's like, no, video games. What are the chances that we picked the exact right hobby to just be enamored with, and then the rest of the world's like, yeah, this is pretty fucking cool. Yeah, we know. We've been doing it since we could stand up vertically. So it's a lot of fun to watch, like, not only us grow, but watch the entire industry grow as in watching people shoehorning gaming into things that obviously don't fit. But the fact that they're trying is amazing. And so I think the next big step for gaming in general is going to be esports. They're going to figure out esports somehow. Whenever they figure that thing out, like that, when that gold rush finally strikes gold, I think that's where it's really good.
So we're going to get a stack up esports.
Oh, God, no. Esports is, as I was saying, gold rush, but I mean, esports is so frustrating to work with. I mean, we've never really gotten anything of any substance from any esports team ever because they're focusing on winning.
Yep.
And even having the adults in the room, like, their focus is on making their people win, and everything else is distant second.
Yeah.
Especially because it's all about bringing in money, because a lot of these orgs are underwater. Like, it's a $20 million price tag just to get into the OWL, Overwatch League. And it's like, all right, so you're already under the gun there that way. And so they don't have a need to do charity. Like, they don't want to do charity. So esports has always been here. It's been tough. We've worked with a bunch of groups out there, and they, oh yeah, I want to do stuff for charity, and then nothing ever happens, because the reality is they have to win these games.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all that matters.
So for the people who do want to do stuff for charity and can do it, how do they get in touch with you guys? How do they find you guys, and how do they help out?
Stackup.org is the website. Head over there. We've got a bunch of different, do some research over there, but if you have individual questions about getting involved, there's a contact form. Just fire one out there, and we will get back to you in a timely fashion. Discord's also another good place. That's where our suicide team's on. But we have a pretty sizable team on Discord. Just discord.gg, stackup.org. All spelled out, stackup.org. And head over there.
Awesome. Did you have anything else?
No, that's it.
Awesome.
Where can they find you? Where do they find you on the interwebs?
I primarily reside on Twitter. That's my platform of choice. I haven't started my TikTok account yet. But yeah, Twitter is Shanghai6, all spelled out, S-I-X. The end of it, just find me over there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us again.
Yeah. Where the fuck are we all going to be in 3 years from now, right?
I don't know.
Woo!
That's a big question, yeah.
It's one of those, don't look too hard at it. If you stare into that abyss too long, you'll go nuts. Like, well, 5 years from now, where are we going to be?